On Sunday, a National Conference of Labour Party women unanimously voted to increase the party's female representation to 50%. Motivated by a gender imbalance in the upper house, the motion also seeks to implement new strategies to enforce affirmative action policies. Tanya Kovac is the national co-convener of Labour women's group Emily's List and was also a key supporter of this weekend's motion. Juliana Yu spoke with Tanya Kovac earlier today.
So what was yesterday's motion about? How did it come to be and what are its aims?
The Australian Labor Party commits itself to a gender quota, to a target of parliamentary seat to be allocated for women. And it does this in recognition of significant disadvantages and difficulties women face that men do not when they attempt to undertake leadership positions. And there was a move on the weekend at the National Labor Women's Conference to lift that target, to make sure that that target applied separately to both the Senate or upper houses in across all parliaments of Australia and also the lower houses, and to ensure that there were proper mechanisms within the party to sanction and critique if that target was not being met.
So you mentioned that the current rule sits at 40% men, 40% women and 20% either gender. Many would see this as already a big step towards gender equality in politics and a fair quota. So why do you believe that 50% is a necessary target to meet? And what differences in policy and outcomes will it make?
I suppose over the last two decades, there's been a shift towards that extra 20% really generally going to men. The ALP in its national platform has a well-established commitment to gender equity. The 40-40-20 rule was a compromise on the pathway towards full gender equity. And so the and so it's not really a significant change in what women have wanted for a very long time. It's just the next natural progression. And this, what is completely apparent is that by having large numbers of women in Parliament, that the focus on public policy and the legislative reform agenda shifts considerably to take into account the concerns of Australian women.
There is no shortage of commentators who are fervently against affirmative action, not just in politics, but in all professions and fields. For example, last year, Adam Creighton wrote in The Australian that quotas are attacks on personal characteristics, a clumsy redistribution of jobs away from supposedly advantaged groups to the apparently needy. They retard the normal functioning of the labour market, impairing productivity by constraining firms' or public servants' ability to choose the most competent men or women for the job. How do you respond to such views?
Well, I actually haven't heard that quote, but what a fantastic piece of fairly jaundiced analysis of the politics of merit as distributed widely by News Limited newspapers. The greatest attack on the worthiness of people to participate in politics is cronyism, nepotism, inheritance, and wealth. And these are things that have got nothing to do with merit. Absolutely nothing to do with merit. But they are all things that often form the basis of conservative men's participation in politics. Processes like affirmative action, what they do, both in the political realm but also in education, in health, in a whole range of policy areas, positive discrimination and affirmative action, what it does is it enables people who would never be able to participate because of the operations of those other unmeritorious mechanisms of selection to be given a fair go.
That report by Juliana Yu.